Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning and happy Easter, my friend. Glad you've joined me. I've got Claude Walker with me today from Summit Group. Willie Bolander will be talking about Go Foster. And our very own Mary Ann Lindley, Commissioner Lindley, will be bringing us up to date on county activities. Miriam Dady's got Ben Pouch in the business spotlight, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and Car Concepts. With their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. Their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars too. You're gonna love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, my friend. Happy Easter. It is the first weekend here in April, the 4th in 2015. The year is already blazing ahead, and here we are celebrating on this beautiful Easter weekend in Tallahassee. The weather forecast calls for sunny and mild temperatures. So, you know, we can't hate that too much, right? Let's see, what is the overnight low tonight? It's actually a bit chilly, 48 degrees. High tomorrow of 77 and then a low of 57. So partly sunny skies through Sunday, and then looks like it's going to be a glorious Easter Sunday for all of us. And I hope that you are enjoying that with your family, wherever you may be, here in the Tallahassee area, around North Florida, or across the country, across the world, listening to us online. Glad to have you with us. Yeah, no, we look at what's going on around town every week, and a couple of headlines caught my attention especially, which I think you might find interesting, especially this business of the Tallahassee Police Department. They're requesting 20 more officers, according to Carl Edders over there at the Tallahassee Democrat, writing earlier in the week, talking about the department wanting to add 46 new officers over the next 3 years, 20 law enforcement positions next year. City commissioners are pondering that, saying it might be a bit tough considering the budget outlook. The price tag for this in 2016 would be $3.4 million. So, not sure whether that'll happen. By the way, that money includes vehicles and weapons and computers and other equipment. So, that'll be an ongoing discussion, no doubt. Police department saying there's a greater need for officers, saying that there's been an increase, a 27% increase in calls for service since 2008, and a 25% uptick in violent crime from 2013 to 2014. And points to the 8 officer-involved shootings last year. So from the standpoint of our friends at TPD, you know, hey, we gotta up our game here a bit. And, of course, that doesn't account for those officers that may have been removed from position. We're not sure about that either. So we assume this is really just an expansion of the department at large. So keep track of that idea. Elsewhere, Blueprint 2000 wanting to help pay for the Magnolia, South Magnolia upgrades, if you caught this story earlier. And our friend Nick O'Leary, who heads up Blueprint 2000, talking about the construction of a pedestrian bike trail on South Magnolia Drive that would run from South Meridian down to Pontiac Drive. And that could begin as early as August and be completed by next March. Be the first of six phases of improvements for South Magnolia Drive under a plan approved Wednesday by city and county commissioners, sitting as the Blueprint 2000 intergovernmental agency. Now, most of the construction will be paid for with money from Blueprint 2000, but also from Leon County and the city of Tallahassee, along with Florida Department of Transportation. Price tag there, about $8 million. So improvements going on around town. And if you hadn't noticed that, to do yourself a favor, just this weekend, get in your car and drive around town from north to south, east to west. You're going to see a lot of construction out there. We're fortunate enough to have with us today Mary Ann Lindley. Commissioner Lindley will join us here in the first hour to talk about Leon County, her position as commissioner at large for the county, and some of those projects that she's particularly involved in. We'll be pointing to that. Good, always good to catch up with Ms. Lindley as we find out more about Leon County and its efforts to improve the way of life known as Tallahassee. We like that, huh? We've also got Claude Walker. He's with a group of people known as Summit Group. And in fact, he's their chief executive officer. Summit Group, for its part, has done a number of things along the same lines of construction and reconstruction of Tallahassee, the reshaping of what is the new Tallahassee. So he'll have comments there about some of the projects that they are investing in and have committed themselves to, not the least of which is the opening of the Leon County shelter, the new shelter, providing temporary housing for homeless people. Big-time involvement there with that whole shelter. That the ribbon cutting for that was this last Thursday. So Claude will bring us up to date on that. And then I've got Willie Bolander, again, somebody who is really cool, doing some really cool work. And his focus is on foster care families and helping those families be better prepared, better able to provide foster care for adoptive kids and foster kids. So that's a great work that he's doing. We're going to learn all about that. And for the sports fans among us, a former Florida State tight end Nick O'Leary did not participate during the school's pro day event on Tuesday because of a lingering hamstring injury, FSU coach Jimbo Fisher reported earlier in the week. O'Leary sustained the injury while warming up for the Seminoles college football playoff semifinal against Oregon in January. So he sat out on that deal. Now remember that O'Leary is the 2014 Mackey Award winner that is given to the nation's best tight end. And he certainly performed with exemplary status through his college career. But heading to the pros, as it turns out, and we'll be keeping an eye on him. And I've got Miriam Dady in the business spotlight with Ben Pouch. Now, Ben is the purveyor of Lucky Goat Coffee. You're going to love this story. Miriam finds these amazingly productive, inspiring entrepreneurs. Ben is one of those with Lucky Goat Coffee, talking about their tasting room up here on Capitol Circle and how that whole vision got started. They're coffee roasters and distributors, and they're doing a fantastic job. I mean, another great example of what is going on around this fair town of ours. So a great show lined up for you here today. We're going to continue with that all the way through 2 hours. So from now until 11 o'clock, you stay with me. For more events around town, I've got the very able Katie Gibson standing by. And Katie is going to join us here with events in a minute. Katie?
Today is Tallahassee's first annual North Florida Veg Fest, a celebration of healthy, local, plant-based eating and compassionate living. This free event will take place at Cascades Park from 11 to 3 today and will feature speakers, exhibitors, vegan food demonstrations, and delicious vegan food from vegan-friendly restaurants and food companies. This upcoming week is Tallahassee Music Week, a 10-day celebration of the capital city's local music talent, including over 100 performances. To start it off, we have Monday night. Opening Nights presents Steep Canyon Rangers and Delamay at Ruby Diamond at 7:30 p.m. This bluegrass band creates passionate music and blends it with humor to present a show you won't want to miss. Thursday night, head to Logan's Roadhouse to support BPW Tallahassee in their fight against breast cancer. Vote on decorated bras and enjoy drink specials to fund scholarships for survivors and individuals with breast cancer. Friday, Tallahassee will host their own TEDx Tallahassee. The event will take place noon to 4 p.m. at City Hall, and speakers will include some of Tallahassee's best. This has been your Events in a Minute for this week. For more information, visit TallahasseeTalks.com. For Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, I'm Katie Gibson.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by Sendout Cards.
Good morning, Tallahassee. It's Miriam Dady with Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I think everybody listening is probably going to have a huge interest in the guest we have today. We have Ben Pouch with Lucky Goat. He roasts coffee, he distributes coffee, he has a coffee shop here, and I bet there's a lot of you listening that have a coffee in your hand right now. So Ben, thank you for coming. I appreciate you being here.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
I am so curious, and I'm also a huge fan of your coffee. But I've got to know where this all began. How did you get started? And work me a little bit backwards in how the history of Lucky Goat in Tallahassee and bring me to here.
Sure. Well, we'll take you back on my career just a little bit. I'm a graduate of Florida State Business School. Worked in the corporate America field for roughly 16 years. Primarily in the distribution side, providing products to the hospitality industry. So restaurants, hotels, hospitals, nursing homes, and country clubs, so forth. Through that journey, I worked national accounts with major chains. And 8 years of that, I ran the operations in Atlanta for a very large coffee roasting company nationwide. So that's what got me into coffee.
Yeah, that smell got in your veins.
Didn't drink it beforehand.
No kidding.
Had my first caramel latte. Now I drink straight shot espressos. So I think it's one of these industries that once it gets in your blood, you just want to learn more about it, and that's where we're at. So what basically happened is we left Atlanta 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. We were pregnant with our third child, and Atlanta was not where we wanted to raise kids. So we picked Tallahassee. And when we picked Tallahassee, we had a lot of friends here. We liked the culture. We liked the lifestyle. Every positive thing that goes with Tallahassee, we picked it. What we didn't pick was a year to 2 years trying to find a job.
Wow.
And we just decided, to heck with trying to find a job, let's just create our own. So we started a wholesale distribution company servicing strictly coffee shops. We didn't do anything with coffee. I had a knowledge in coffee. I worked with coffee shops, but we were doing syrup, sauces, frappe mixes, equipment, training, helping small mom and pops get set up as a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 5 years into that, it was we needed another product. People would come to us and we'd open up and they'd say, hey, where do we get our coffee? Where do we get our coffee? And it was something I was curious about. I wanted to learn how to roast. I said, well, let me learn about it. I know these other parts of the business. I don't know anything about the manufacturing side of actually physically doing it. So I investigated it and I thought I'd do it as a hobby. Once you investigate it and realize what the true costs are, it's no longer a hobby. So it's how do you form a little business model around this? We already had a distribution network. We had a warehouse in Jacksonville, Tallahassee, and Biloxi. We were going to Jackson, Mississippi, down to Gainesville, Jacksonville, South Georgia, South Alabama, servicing 300 to 350 cafes and shops. So why not do coffee?
Exactly.
So we had a distribution chain. So what basically happened, I know you're going to ask me this question. I'm just going to answer it right now. Everybody wants to know how you got Lucky Goat Coffee. Where does the name come from?
Right.
And it really comes from the legend of coffee, where it was originated. The theory or the legend is a goat herder in Ethiopia in 800 AD notices goats eating these cherries off of a tree. And the legend goes they became euphoric and started dancing. So probably what happened was is a herd of goats ate some cherries. They became a little bit more rambunctious, and that was the finding of the coffee plant in Ethiopia.
Hey, that's what I do after my morning coffee.
So that's sort of where we are right now is we took the legend of coffee. We felt we're lucky to be involved in the coffee industry, and now we've got a production distribution facility based here in Tallahassee.
Wow, that is great. Now, here's a strange question, or maybe not. You probably get this. Would you consider doing private labels for businesses or people or weddings or anniversaries? Would you just roast a particular blend and label it for somebody?
That's a great question because we have a really complex business.
Yeah,
We have the wholesale distribution of products to coffee shops.
Mm-hmm.
But when we take a look at coffee and strictly coffee, we're a production facility. We run two roasters. We're running Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, and we need to produce coffee. We produce, we roast right now 20, we bring about 20 different origins of coffee in.
Wow.
Make blends, we make single origins, and then we also do flavored coffee. The reason that's a long-winded answer is yes, we do it. I mean, we do private label stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do a specific shop and roast for them. We'll also have our own stuff at a Whole Foods or at a New Leaf or at a Earth Fair.
Right.
And you can pick up the product there. We have our own stuff in our shop.
Neat.
But one thing that really kicked off our business, and I'm really high on Tallahassee and local businesses now, not only the businesses but the people, because we would not be where we are without them.
Exactly.
And I'm a regional wholesaler, and we're based in Tallahassee, but we would never have started the Lucky Goat tasting room if people didn't want to buy a local product. And it started with places like Bada Bean and Bagelheads when they were first here, and small
right.
local independent businesses that wanted to do business locally. And it's just been a really cool thing. So what I'm saying with that is we really got started in the fundraiser game. We
Neat.
Would do charitable events instead of writing a check to, we'll just pick the Boy Scouts, even though they don't do this, but if the Boy Scouts want to do a fundraiser, mm-hmm. we can say, hey, go sell coffee. You make dollars off of doing that, and it helped get our name and our brand out there, but
yeah.
we would private label them for those groups. So yes, the answer is yes, for fundraisers, we do them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for private label, large business orders, we'll do them.
Yeah.
For a
yeah.
wedding, we've done them.
Right. Good.
We're very flexible.
That's neat. And I know Eternal Grounds.
Mm-hmm.
I always get my lucky goat there. Here's we're coming to a close. We might have to expand this to another segment, but I know everybody listening wants to know where they can come to taste your coffee and taste different variety of coffees. Can you clue us in?
Well, the best place right now is the new tasting room. We just moved to a 10,000 square foot facility on Capitol Circle Northeast. It's 668, right across from the federal prison. If you're familiar with where Capiluto is, it's right next to Capiluto. So we've got a upfront tasting room that we every day have roughly six coffees brewed every single day that you can try those coffees. We do classes, so we do custom setup classes that you can come in and schedule those for brew classes. Take about 2 hours, so they're a lot of fun. We have a large window that overlooks the roastery, so you can actually sit in the cafe and watch the coffee being roasted, so you can sort of see those things. And then there's anywhere from 2 to 4 people working per staff that just love to talk about coffee and answer questions.
Fantastic. Ben, is there a website people can find out more?
There is. We are luckygoatcoffee.com.
Okay,
as with most small businesses, it's in flux. It's getting ready to be changed in the next 2 weeks by our web company. So we're excited for that new rendition to come out. So we're not ready for everyone to go hit it today, but please check it out the next couple of weeks and see the cool things happening, because we'll be putting the classes on there and the events and things that we have on that website to be a lot more user-friendly and interactive.
Fantastic. That sounds great. So, Ben, I want to thank you for being here. Everybody, give this a try, Lucky Goat Coffee. You can probably find it at your local coffee house that you enjoy, but definitely come on out to Capital Circle and give these guys a try. Thanks so much, Ben. We'll catch up with you again.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Commissioner Marianne Lindley, a lovely individual. If you've not gotten to know this person, during her time of service to the community, she is a commissioner at large, as it is said, for Leon County, and has been at her post faithfully, helping commission whatever commissioners do. We're going to find out about that. Now for what, 2 years?
A little over 2 years, yeah. Yes.
So welcome.
Thank you very much.
Considering the pollen and springtime, you're right. Doing great and you're still breathing.
I'm still breathing. I'm going to sneeze a time or two just to make everybody feel a part of the program.
Promise that we'll keep that in the conversation. but we're going to get at it here with some of the things that have come to our attention. And I know you've got a bunch of projects to tell us about that you're either personally engaged in or just aware of. What's top of your list right now? What are you working on?
Well, right now, of course, we're working on a new budget for the coming year. And every time there's a new budget process coming up, we have to kind of reevaluate what's important and what's important now.
Yeah.
And, you know, measure the interest. I mean, right now, a lot of the nonprofits are needing more support and are appealing to the county for more assistance in all kinds of things.
Right.
The arts community is interested in help. And of course we have, you know, we're trying to do a lot of work invigorating Southside, the economy, expanding the Cascades Park area.
Right.
So there's, you know, the diversity of what a county commissioner and a county commission can do is really just so stimulating and so positive.
I imagine. Is it everything it was cracked up to be when you ran for office? Have you discovered it to be more or less or about what you expected?
Well, you know, I was a journalist for 30-some-odd years, and so sitting on the other side, I could sort of do my wagging index finger of why doesn't the county do this or why does the county do that? And now so I'm on the other side where I get to I have to figure out.
The finger is being pointed at you.
The finger is pointed right back at me. But, you know, all's fair in love and war.
Is this some kind of penance for you, like, after all that suffering you caused others?
All that suffering,
that's funny.
Well, listen, I'm pretty forgiving when the media, you know, to me doesn't quite get it. I think, okay, well, I've been there.
Yeah.
Because it's more complicated. And knowing when to jump in as opposed to just when to observe has been the most you know, because I've always been good at scanning the horizon and kind of just fascinated with what's going on in the community. But then, so when is the time that you jump in and say, okay, let's do this? And that's been, you know, been kind
of. And do you, curiously, does your background as a journalist all those many years serve you in this capacity? Does it provide you some advantage, do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was the best training ground you could ever have for serving in public office. For one thing, for a couple of things. I mean, you're used to being in the public eye to some extent. I mean, I was a writer for so many years. I wrote editorials and columns. And you got what we would generously call feedback, all the time.
Even at church.
At church, at the grocery store, at restaurants, people would question or just add to or help, illuminate you on different issues. So that
you're being quite generous in your interpretation of that, I should say.
I really like people, and I get a huge kick out of the stimulation, the back and forth, and. Yeah. There are very few real stinkers out there in the world.
Yeah.
That's why I say this.
I'm glad to be among those few. That's my job.
Well, you need a few.
Stink up the room,
You got a few.
So if that's the case, then do you find it awkward at all when you're out there on the trail, we'll say, or out in community events and meetings? That's where you find it easier, I guess?
Yeah, I don't find that awkward. I find that very comfortable. In fact, when issues come up, I kind of put on my old news person hat, and I like there's a power line going out I-10 into some neighborhoods out off Centerville Road.
Right.
So the first thing I did when I started getting emails about, we need buffering, we need mitigation, we need something out here, was get in my car and drive out there and say, okay, well, where is this? Let me take a look. I like doing that. I like to get out, and I just went up and knocked on the door of one of the gentlemen whose family and house might be affected, and just said, "Hi, I'm Mary Ann Lindley. Can you show me what's going on here?" And we took a walk back in the woods where the area was.
Fascinating
concerned.
To me that you have that sort of from the ground up perspective. I guess the social scientists would call that inductive or empirical evidence, right?
Uh-huh.
So you are the fact gathering person who then draws some sort of conclusions based on the discoveries, huh?
To me,
it's a top down kind of thing,
right? Or just anecdotal, because
people
can tell you how they see a situation, and then I always joke there aren't two sides to every issue, there are 13. And I feel like I need to go out and kind of see for myself as best I can, and even then, it's my observations, I'm not trying to sort out where they're coming from and so much.
And you seem to be in favor of, well, that's not the right way to put this, but I've heard you say that you're pretty optimistic about the manner in which the county, we'll say, properly, since that is really your chart, is conducting business.
I think our county commission respect each other, and we have a really wonderful professional staff. But the thing is, if you understand the dynamic of a county commission, we have 5 commissioners elected from districts, and we have 2 commissioners at large, Commissioner Nick Maddox and myself. We're the 2 at-large representatives. So we have 5 people who represent different parts of the county, and they're distinctively interesting different parts of the county. There are different lifestyles, different economics, different work and school situations.
Right.
And so they all really, in a very good way, represent different ways of thinking in the community. And I think we have a really interesting dynamic, and we respect each other.
So when Skip Foster was here recently, and he talked about his initial impressions of or his take on Tallahassee, he talked about the fact that, from his point of view, you have these groups that are divided and separated from one another, and yet they share very similar, if not the same, goals. And he pointed to the developers and those who are the preservationists.
Mm-hmm.
What's your view on that?
Well, I think it used to be a far more rigid division than it is now. I think it really did used to be tree huggers versus developers, growth versus no growth. But I have found, we have a lot of people who are very environmentally sensitive, the whole, grow it locally and all of that movement. But they also understand commerce. The locally grown folks, they're small business people.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have developers here who are quite sensitive to what the landscape is and the environment. And it didn't come without some real struggles. We had a moratorium on growth in Bradfordville about 15 years ago for 3 years, while everybody was kind of going to their corners, reconvening and working out some common ground in terms of, you know, water resources
and
so forth.
What do you think, in the 2 years you've been with the commission and representing the county at large, what do you see as the most or some of the most promising or notable achievements? What are you most proud of, maybe?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm proud of a lot of things that we've done, but I think we've faced some tough issues and kind of let the chips fall in a way. You know, we've done better by managing our stormwater issues, and Franklin Boulevard. I mean, gosh, the Cascades Park. I mean, that has just been such a tremendous change and a gift to the community. Yeah. The other day I heard the mayor of Charleston, South Carolina, is leaving after 40 years. And he was one of the first mayors who was a real urban planner. And he talked about how when we create beautiful and environmentally sensitive and progressive, interesting community environments and infrastructure, all people benefit. The rich and the poor, everyone benefits from living in a community that has grace and beauty and harmony. And, you know, and I just loved the idea that you can plan a community so it's not your community or my community. Everyone benefits
That's awesome.
And
talking with Commissioner Marianne Lindley, and we're going to continue with this conversation. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under Community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and talking with Commissioner Marianne Lindley. I hope that you have, in this few minutes, Commissioner, been given enough opportunity to talk about some of the projects that you're personally involved in, but I know there's one especially that you'd like to underscore.
I would. I'd like to talk to you about Leon Works, is what we're calling it. Leon Works is a way for the county to pull together a lot of organizations, groups, and citizens who want to see young people have some options for creating good careers that do not require going to college and getting a university degree. We know that the workforce these days, there are some areas that are really desperately needed that young people aren't being directed into, and they might really enjoy creative artisan crafts, things that require maybe 3 to 6 months of training or a year, don't require a college degree. Not everybody wants to go to college.
Yeah.
Some people who do go to college get degrees. They come out with enormous debt and no jobs. But there is a huge need in this country for welders, for aviation mechanics, for people who drive the 18-wheelers across country, which is where all of our commerce practically is transported in this nation. People can make a really good living in a lot of these careers. They're the building trades, their crafts, and they can create their own businesses, too.
So how's the county promoting this?
The county is really a convener, a liaison. We're working with the schools, with Lively Vocational Technical, with the different workforce organizations, with the community college, where these and private training programs, where kids can get involved in, you know, see some alternatives. We're going to have a big expo in the fall inviting young people who are probably 15, 16, 17 years old who are at that time of life where they're trying to sort out what they want to do. And we're really going to try to just encourage and try to ramp up an interest in this as an alternative way. Not everybody has to go to college. Not everybody wants to. Mm-hmm. A lot of people find it enormously satisfying to build things, to fix things. This came about really in a couple of ways, but one was when my kitchen sink went kaput, you know, and a couple of young guys came, the plumbers, and I was standing over the kitchen sink offering my, you know, advice, and this young guy rolls out from under the kitchen sink, looks up at me with a grin and says, he says, "Ma'am, we fix things all day long, and we're good at it." And I just had to laugh.
Code for, leave me alone, let me do
it. Well, but also code for, we fix things, we like fixing things, and we're good at it. And I started talking to them about their jobs, and they said, "Yeah, you know, we're outdoors, we're not sitting at a computer. We solve problems. We like these puzzles." And at 5 o'clock, they go home and they go fishing. You know, they like the lifestyle. They like fixing things. They don't want to be.
So in other words, some of us are a little too snooty about what we think is
a good life. Some of us are a little too snooty.
And we need to just relax and say, hey, you know what? Fixing a kitchen sink is a good thing.
Well, and also, you can, these jobs, if you look at the statistics around the country, these are jobs that are desperately needed. You can find a job.
So there's a practical side to it there.
And to me, it's like a bookend to our emphasis on entrepreneurship and the, you know, the
creative class.
The creative class. There's also this class, which can also be very artistic, very creative.
Which I think we have not done a good job in serving. I agree with you.
That's right. I mean, we
used think about the apprenticeships of old, right? Where
exactly.
You went in for 2 years and learned to be a carpenter.
Yes.
Or, as you say, a craftsman of some kind. And now, being gender friendly, so I mean, you've got women doing work that historically might have been considered man's work. And there's no separation there. There's no reason why women can't be good plumbers or
absolutely
whatever. And they're doing that.
And, you know, the folks who are in the locally grown movement who are doing the small farms.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
really exhibit A of this kind of thing. The culinary arts kind of came about on their own, but the culinary arts are this sort of thing. You don't have to have a college degree to, you know, to be fascinated by food and nutrition and working in those areas.
Do you think the internet has contributed to our awareness of that? Because I think of so many people, many of whom have been on our show of late, who are blogging, and they are health nutritionists, they are health experts, they are cooks or chefs.
I do think that. It's particularly, I think, the culinary arts, I think that's definitely been assisted by television shows and internet and the locally grown,
so
all of that.
We just have a better understanding of.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things I hear said, too, is that Tallahassee's not really well understood, not well appreciated. Coach Simmerow was here, and we talked about why, or what is it about Tallahassee that you find sort of disheartening? And she said that we are not seen for who we really are. That the national headlines are full of some controversy with a football player or a team, or perhaps it's some investigation in some county official.
Right.
And that's what gets the notice. Meanwhile, the really cool stuff that makes us who we are seems to get overlooked.
Well, news, you know, I know this to my core, news is the aberration of the normal. Huh. News is what isn't our daily life. News isn't what the quality of life that we want and work for and enjoy is about. I mean, news is consists of that stuff that...
Well, the whole carpet is clean. There's that one speck,
yeah,
and that's what we pay attention to.
And people, readers, listeners, viewers talk about how they dislike that piece of it, and yet they also want to know where the crime is, what the weird stuff is.
Yeah.
It is a two-edged sword, and... So, yeah, you don't go around saying, gee, the carpet looks so great.
See, that was my take on this thing with Richard Florida's research, the segregated income idea or segregated community. And I didn't see his work as divisive. I thought it was illustrative of an issue that we can look at objectively and say, okay, there's the research. Now, the question is, how do you interpret that? And if you look at four counties around Tallahassee, including Leon County, there is a great deal of separation, we'll say, of these various communities. And you represent many of those people in various places.
One of the things that was so wonderful about running for office as one of the at-large commissioners, I was in every segment of this community from north, south, east, and west, and I saw such a diversity of lifestyles and abilities in terms of earning power, education, economy, beliefs. And we have an amazing community, but we also have a lot of poverty in this community, and I think we do tend to segregate ourselves very willingly. So I think if people are pointing fingers and saying, oh my goodness, we're segregated, well, yes, point the finger back at yourself, because you're probably not getting out of your comfort zone either. You know, I mean, that works in every segment of the community, I think. I was talking to a young girl who was a student, and she said she really had never been north of Tennessee Street.
There you go.
You know, or east of Magnolia Drive.
There you go.
So the students get segregated. Everybody kind of tends to go to your own. Well, yeah. Which is, in a way, it's what makes neighborhoods interesting and fun and important
again,
and comforting.
But I think, too, I think your point is well taken, that we do deprive ourselves of knowing of the diversity.
Well, right? Brian, I mean, we're all really quick to say, oh, Congress, Congress is so split and they need to reach across the aisle. Well, we all need to reach across the aisle, not just politically.
Or the driveway,
yeah. We need to reach across the driveway or get out of your driveway. So, it's easy to say other people need to, but sometimes we personally need to do something different.
I suspect that if we were just to follow you around for a couple of days, we would probably meet most of those folks, because it seems to me you're not sitting in your office or behind your laptop. You're out there, and I appreciate you making it part of your day to come and be with us here.
What a pleasure. I love talking to you. It's just been really fun and stimulating.
Always. Well, hopefully we can continue this conversation. Folks, Marianne Lindley, Commissioner-at-Large for Leon County, a good friend of this show, and I think a good friend of the citizens of Leon County. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Folks, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll be back. ABC News is on up ahead, and we'll have more of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
The most talked-about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Here we are again, my friend, in the second hour of this here fine radio show, streaming live on the web. And so you may be listening in Seattle or Pittsburgh or Germany. We don't know where you are. Many of you are right here listening on our home station, 93.3 FM in Tallahassee, affectionately known as Freedom 93, Barry Kay and his fine and able crew of folks who bring you this show each week. Now in our fifth season, we're trying to do our very best to tell you more about what Tallahassee is talking about. And it's these days we're talking about things like the development of Tallahassee, that is to say the infrastructure, the sidewalks and the buildings and the office parks and the commerce centers and shopping centers. I mean, it's happening, folks. If you've not been around town lately, go up Magnolia Way, the Magnolia Drive, and see what's going on there. Mad Dog Construction is madly working like dogs with all of their efforts to build that whole thing out. What do they call it? Magnolia Grove or Magnolia Garden or something. Anyway, it'll be a retail center, part of that whole expansion of that area of town. And Blueprint 2000, along with city and county folks wanting to spend about $8 million to improve sidewalks going south, then along South Magnolia from from Meridian all the way down the way. Improvements that mean what? That Tallahassee is more habitable. We want to attract residents to the community that are younger families and perhaps are part of this creative class. Well, I got news for you folks, too, by the way. The creative class is already here. And if you didn't get to hear Ben Pouch talk about Lucky Goat Coffee, there's a great example of the creative class. I would put Miriam Dady in that same grouping. I mean, Miriam is a brilliant business owner and entrepreneur in her own right, a beloved individual who is known to so many business people in this town. It's remarkable how many people say, oh, I know Miriam, you know, like, oh, cool. Yeah, she's in my book, she's star status and a great person, just a great person. Happy Easter, by the way. Here we are on Easter weekend with great weather up ahead, clear skies through the day, a little cloudiness today. Easter Sunday will be clear and cool. Overnight low, I think tonight is 48. No rain in the forecast, so great way to celebrate Easter. The sunrise services tomorrow morning are going to be spentabulous, no matter where you might be. I know there's always a group up there around Lake Jackson that'll have some guitars and some grilled fish and some pita bread or whatever. And you know, it's a marvelous time, Easter, to me, because it does speak to the rebirth, the regeneration. Of course, it's for Christians the celebration of the death, the burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. So with that in mind, we think about some of the things that are ascending right in front of us in this sleepy little college town that for its history has played a significant role, regardless of whether we know it or not, in the state's history and in the nation's history. Tallahassee is a hub, and it's becoming more so that way. And I think in a way that is different than what a lot of the planners have thought it might be. You know, they're looking for big tech technology companies, you know, like a Microsoft or a Dell to come here those are great ideas, but they actually employ very few people when they actually set up shop, if they do. So what else is happening? Well, again, you need to talk to some of the folks like Ben Pouch, Miriam Dady. Well, the conversation that we're going to have coming up here with Claude Walker, man, it'll change your perspective. And the work that Rick Carney has done in investing in the infrastructure, even the charitable things that his organization or organizations have done, remarkable work. Philanthropic, yes, but visionary. Looking at, for example, the question of homeless people. How are those people move from a place of homelessness into regular living and regular life and more productive lives, more self-rewarding lives? Man, there's a lot of that going on. For our part, we're doing something called the Tallahassee Food Challenge, and you've heard me tell you about this already. You can go to the website, tallahasseefoodchallenge.com. It's a work in progress, but we're in that effort. We're trying to bring everybody in on this conversation and make a simple contribution. It can be a canned food item. It can be a sack of groceries. Whatever you can do, wherever we are, we want to make that easier for you. We're going to show up at various places around town over the next several weeks with our Tallahassee Food Challenge truck. And so our message is very simple. Take the challenge, fill the truck, help us fill it up, and feed the hungry. So then we take the truck over to one of the food assistance charities or food pantries. There are a bunch of them, and we've got them listed for you there on the website. And then they do the business of providing for hungry kids, hungry families. Well, isn't that a good thing? After all, if we're trying to get them to improve their lifestyle, if we want to teach them how to balance their checkbook or how to get a better job, maybe we better feed them in the meantime so that they're not struggling with some of the most rudimentary questions of the day. Will I eat today? If we can take that one off the list, then it seems to me we've got a better shot at helping them achieve more and become the people that we hope they will aspire to. Certainly, does anybody want to live in an impoverished situation? Do they choose that? Maybe some in some twisted way do. But I think the vast majority, the 27% of Leon County that finds themselves at or below the poverty level, talk to Tim Center, the guys over there at the Capital Area Community Action Agency. They work very hard to help people become better people for themselves, and then they're able to contribute more. By the way, that's what's going on with the south side of Tallahassee. They had this forum the other night. Nearly 200 residents turned out for a community forum. This was Tuesday night, to express their ideas for improving the city's south side and to hear from Tallahassee and Leon County commissioners. So, folks, I'm telling you, all you have to do is spend a little time getting to know some of these works. You're going to find out that you got a whole lot of very good people doing a lot of very good things around Tallahassee. We've got more of that coming up here with Katie Gibson standing by, and she has this week's events in a minute. Katie?
Today is Tallahassee's first annual North Florida Veg Fest, a celebration of healthy, local, plant-based eating and compassionate living. This free event will take place at Cascades Park from 11 to 3 today and will feature speakers, exhibitors, vegan food demonstrations, and delicious vegan food from vegan-friendly restaurants and food companies. This upcoming week is Tallahassee Music Week, a 10-day celebration of the capital city's local music talent, including over 100 performances. To start it off, we have Monday night. Opening Nights presents Steep Canyon Rangers in Delamay at Ruby Diamond at 7:30 p.m. This bluegrass band creates passionate music and blends it with humor to present a show you won't want to miss. Thursday night, head to Logan's Roadhouse to support BPW Tallahassee in their fight against breast cancer. Vote on decorated bras and enjoy drink specials to fund scholarships for survivors and individuals with breast cancer. Friday, Tallahassee will host their own TEDx Tallahassee. The event will take place noon to 4 p.m. at City Hall, and speakers will include some of Tallahassee's best. This has been your Events in a Minute for this week. For more information, visit TallahasseeTalks.com. For Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, I'm Katie Gibson.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook, you know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
The best place for conversation, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Go Foster is an organization dedicated to improving the lives of children in foster care by recruiting and retaining great foster families. I'm reading from a brochure here that says, Go Foster works to improve the lives of children in foster care through four interrelated activities: recruit, retain, research, and repeat. We have with us Dr. Willie Bolander, who is an assistant professor of marketing over there at FSU School of Business. Good morning, Dr. Bolander. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for telling us about Go Foster. You started this organization, or you got involved somehow?
I did. Yeah, so this was started by my family and another family that is a foster and adoptive family.
You are, in fact, taking your own medicine here. You have been a foster family yourselves for some number of years.
Yep.
How did all that get started for you?
Well, like most people that get involved in fostering and adopting, we knew some people that were involved in fostering and adopting. It's kind of a contagious thing, I guess. My wife and I talked about it for years and years, and there was always an excuse not to get involved. And we find that's kind of true for a lot of people that are thinking about getting involved. And we kind of just came to a point where we said, you know, there's always going to be a reason not to do it. Let's just
do it
and make it work. You know, stuff happens. People figure out how to live life. So we started fostering and adopting. And, you know, for me, it was really just hearing stories of people that were doing it, understanding what they were going through, what the children that were being brought into care had been put through.
Yeah.
And really just kind of getting angry about the types of things that go on with these kids.
And at the time that you did that, had you already your own children?
No. So right now we have 5 kids. One of them is birthed. The youngest one actually is birthed.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't really plan on him coming around. We were just going to keep fostering and adopting kids.
So you would be what we'd consider the modern American blended family here, where you're blending.
quite blended, yep.
As you go. And these children now that are your children came to you by what process? How did you go? Did you go through the kind of the customary business, or how did that come about?
Yeah, so these were all foster children through the state. We were living in Texas at the time, so it was through the state of Texas, but it's the same mechanism we have here in Florida, where they were subject to some sort of situation that the state deemed inappropriate for children to be in, and they were removed from their biological family's care. And we had gone through a licensing process and courses and all that to become foster parents. And they just kind of wound up in our house. So,
what inspired you to want to do this?
Well, you know, so like I was kind of alluding to earlier, just seeing what other people were doing, seeing the effect it was having, and really...
Wanting to give back? Is that
well,
the motivation?
Well, wanting to intervene, I think. You know, sometimes people say, oh, you guys must really like kids. You must love kids. And... you know, we love our kids most days. I don't know that I love all kids. What really gets me, I guess, sort of active and moving in this direction is just kind of getting angry, frankly, that, you know, hearing the stories of what kids are going through, hearing what games people are playing in the courtroom and different things, and just saying, you know, hey, somebody needs to just get in there and wave their arms and say, hey, you know, are you people serious?
Like, yeah, and at that point, then, you had not yet begun this Go Foster organization. How did that come about?
Yeah, good question. So, like I said, it was founded by me and another gentleman whose family is adoptive, foster family, and both of us have a lot of kids, and we're both reaching a point where we're literally going to be kind of at capacity, right? We can't take in another foster kid. We can't adopt another kid at some point. They just stop making houses that big. So, you know, we start discussing, okay, well, when we're full, when we can't take any more in, what does that mean? Does that mean we're done? We kind of wash our hands of the matter and move on? Or what can we do to try to continue contributing in a way that isn't just us personally taking in another child? And the solution seemed to be, okay, we can get other people. Like we said, it's contagious, right? We can try to infect other people, get other people involved, and then we can provide some support services. So once they're involved, we keep them involved. And we were just able to identify a number of gaps. What we're involved in is, you know, we talk about it in terms of normalizing. Okay, we're trying to find the people who are just like us, who are interested, who want to do it one day, and find out whatever their objections are and help them decide that today's
and because you've gone through that process so often, then you can help them avoid pitfalls. You can get them better prepared for what's up ahead.
Exactly.
And,
And you know, so simple, simple things like getting a kid a doctor's appointment can get really tricky if they don't have a social security card, if you don't have their birth certificate, if you have no paperwork that says you're allowed to, you know, make medical decisions on their behalf. So, getting answers to these types of questions for a new foster parent could be something that takes weeks or months.
Daunting, yeah.
And we're able to provide them a forum where they can get an answer to that in, you know, a couple hours instead.
I'm noticing here, too, from some of your literature, you have a goal for 2015, your retention goal, you're calling it, and that is to maintain greater than 80% retention of Go Foster families. What does that mean?
It means of the families we recruit.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that 80% of them stay plugged in. So to give you some broader context, I guess, in 2013, the state of Florida had a goal of recruiting 1,200 new foster homes statewide. And we can talk about why that's not a real, you know, a good goal to set in the first place.
Not realistic.
They were able to achieve that goal, but the same year they lost 1,100 foster families. So we had a net gain of 100 foster families.
I see.
Frankly, if we were going to sort of forecast or set the goal based on what we actually need, we didn't need 1,200. We probably needed several thousand. And, you know, so a net gain of 100, you know.
So the goal was set too low, first of all.
And the goal was set way too low.
Something didn't work, right?
Yeah. So, you know, for example, we could make use with 100 new foster families just in Bay County, just right next door to Tallahassee.
Wow.
And that was our net gain for the entire state in 2013, which is a little bit depressing, but it motivates what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. So the idea is find these people who are like us, meaning whatever that means. You know, this is we talk about in a very general sense. Mm-hmm. So we're going to find people like us, and then we want them to go find people like them. And, you know, so again, we come back to this idea of it's contagious, right?
Viral.
We want you to go find people that are kind of like you. If you're a teacher, go find some teachers. If you're a professor, go find some professors. If you're a... you know, somebody that works for the state, go find some other people that work for the state.
That's amazing. Then you also have this research component, and your goal there is to initiate 3 pilot research projects related to fostering and have one of these in review at a scientific journal. That sounds rather ambitious. I mean...
Well, so
to do 3, I
like
mean,
you mentioned, I'm a
one
faculty member at the College of Business, and so my primary goal as a tenure track faculty member is to do research. So this kind of fits in with my day job. And Thomas Kroom, the other co-founder, is a faculty member over in the political science department, and you know, really one of the big motivations in us starting this began from us having discussions with the various agencies here in town that handle recruitment and retention efforts, and asking them simple questions like, how do you know if your recruitment's being effective? Wow. How do you know what happened? You know, what are some of the key things that are driving people away, and what can you do to remedy them?
What are you measuring, and how are you measuring?
And the answer is usually we don't know. And it's not necessarily their fault. They don't have the resources or the expertise to do that. So our idea is to garner private resources and just get it done ourselves and improve the process.
The organization is called Go Foster. We have with us Dr. Willie Bolander, who is one of the co-founders here. Their website is gofoster.org. So that's a great place to go and learn more about this organization. We're glad that you were part of the show today and want you to keep us abreast of how this proceeds. And anything we can do to help you get your word out, let me know about that.
Absolutely.
We'd like to share it with
our
listeners.
Thanks again for having us.
Folks, that's what we have for you at the moment. You stay with us. We've got ABC News coming up here shortly. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back, and we're talking with a sprightly young man who aspires to greatness. Just getting into the business here, no. Claude Walker is the CEO of Summit Group here in Tallahassee, and I do think he's a sprightly young man, but this isn't his first rodeo. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, thank you, and I would consider myself a young man. I appreciate you saying
that. It's all relative. I mean, the oldest person in the world just passed away this last week, 117, so compared to that... You're just a kid.
That's true. That's true. I just passed my halfway mark. So.
I'm just saying. Oh, man. Well, here we are on this wonderful Saturday in the beginning of April, this first weekend. And already we're looking at some remarkable things that have come about. Now, this last Thursday, I know that you were at a ribbon cutting for the new Leon County shelter that you've had a hand in, you know some people that have been substantial and contributive to that project. Tell us about this Leon County shelter. How did that come about?
Well, that was a creative thought from Rick Carney, who is the person that I work for, who is the owner of our company.
I see.
He and Chuck White, their passion is to help the homeless. And several years ago, they started what they call the RCC, which is the Renaissance Community Center down in Frenchtown.
Right.
And from that, they grew into what they call the CESC, which is the Comprehensive Emergency Services Center. I think I got it right. And it's a 35,000 square foot center, which has a shelter aspect in it, which has a housing portion of it for the homeless. So they, as you know, they shut down the homeless shelter, and this will be the new homeless shelter. But it provides many more things. It provides the services that homeless need, basically a one-stop shop for them to be able to reenter society and leave homeless, leave homelessness, as my, my wife calls it, persons experiencing homelessness.
Yeah.
So this has been a phenomenal facility that you've got to see to believe that this is a place where we are there to treat people who are experiencing homelessness and move them out of homelessness. And so it will be they had the grand opening on Thursday, and they'll start taking people in. It's got a medical facility in it, a triage-type facility. It's got, like I said, a housing portion, and then it's got various agencies in there who help get people where they're where they get signed up for the benefits that they need to get ID cards. It's like I said, it's a one stop shop. So our part of it, my part of it was I kind of oversaw the construction and the budget of it, and worked with Chuck and others, Sherry Thompson and Kim Garner, who both work at Mainline. To oversee the construction aspect of it, so it's just been a wonderful experience for us.
And in that regard, the operation of the facility now will go to those who are county employees or city employees.
No, it won't be city. Or well, basically, we're what we call Beatitude Partners LLC is running it, and so it's that entity leased this dirt from the city and then obtained the funding to be able to build it through funding. Majority of the funding came from Mr. Carney, funding from a loan that we took out, and then funding from, you know, city, county, and United Way each year put up funding to go towards the capital of it.
You know what I love about what you're saying, and you were reaching for a word there. Collaboration comes to mind that suggests not any one person made this happen, and it has been this overlapping. You've mentioned four or five organizations, two or three or four different people, including yourself and Mr. Carney, Rick Carney, who stepped up and said, "You guys come together on this vision, and I'll help fund the operation, help fund the development of this thing." And then you've got this ability to do more than that, what any one of you could have done individually, right?
That's correct. That's correct. So it was a birth from Mr. Carney, from Rick and Chuck. And that creation is now what you see on the ground. And it's really a part of a larger communal effort that they have to move people out of homelessness and back into
society.
It's
a big passion of his, I know it.
Right, right. So not only do we have the CESC, we also have what we call Westgate Community, which is over off Bluntstown Highway, where Rick took a subdivision that got taken over by the bank because when we had the real estate disaster back in the late 2000s, he bought this. It had 13 platted lots in it, and so what he's done is he has built a housing building, which is like a not a bunkhouse, but it's like a dorm, a dorm for people who are moving out of homelessness back into society, where they share a room with somebody else. Each one of them has a private, they have private rooms that they share with a private bath. And it's like a dorm, like I said, like you would have in college. They have a room downstairs, which is their common area. They have a kitchen. They have to pay rent. It's a, you know, it's lower rent than what you would pay in an apartment, but they have to contribute. And they have rules that they have to follow. It is a structured environment. And so if you go out there now, we have five buildings up.
And where is this located?
This is on Bluntstown Highway.
Okay.
It is in between, it's in between 90 and Mission Road. It's on the left.
Okay.
So what our goal is to build 13 of these dorms.
Wow.
And so each one of the dorms is leased by different agencies who pays us the rent. So Rick basically funded the cost of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pay rent back to us, which is
operational covering
what the return on capital would be.
Yeah.
And what we do is we plow that money back into the next house.
I got you.
So as we get each one of these houses leased, we turn around and build another one. So the idea is to have 13 of these, to have different agencies, to have one like Echo has a house there for mothers and their children.
That's awesome.
So it's another part of this that all fits in with moving people off the street and getting them back into
society.
It's
remarkable. When we've talked with Tim Center, he runs the Capital Area Community Action Agency, right? This is the organization that really was birthed from the Johnson era, you know, the Great Society idea and war on poverty and such. But when he got involved, he looked around for what he referred to as research-based programs that have some measurable outcome, some positive outcome for those they're trying to serve. Well, this Capital Area Agency didn't have anything like that. And he said, well, okay, so we're paying people's light bill, but we're not teaching them how they can pay their light bill and getting them up out of that situation in which they're impoverished and they can't seem to get past that point.
Right.
Here you have an effort, just with what you've described, that is hard at that issue. I mean, this isn't just a theory here. You've put boots on the ground, we'd say. All of you have initiated this and have a working model. It's working. You got people living in these facilities. And in doing that, can you imagine the kind of goodwill that you're generating among them and the self-esteem that is growing? Because, by golly, maybe I can get out of my situation and do better.
Right. Sense of pride.
Sense of pride.
And that's part of them, you know, requiring them to pay rent.
Where does that come from for you? Why are you involved in this stuff?
Well, I got involved through Rick, who's my owner. So that's doing what I do, which is the real estate end of it. I helped him get this property over on at Westgate.
I got you.
I helped him put together the lease for the city property where where the CESC is.
So you're one of those people who, if I have a great idea and you like that idea, you'll help me implement. You're the guy who gets in front of that whole situation and says, okay, here's how we actually have to do this.
That's correct. I get in the weeds and get it figured out.
Get it up off the dirt.
Rick is a visionary.
Yeah, and you're the guy.
And I'm a realist. So we... And everybody has their part.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my part was managing the budget on the construction, putting together the legal documents to make this happen. But he's the visionary. I mean, this is his baby.
That's very cool. Folks, we're talking with Claude Walker. He's the Chief Executive Officer for Summit Group. And you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are talking with Claude Walker, CEO for Summit Group, and we've had this brisk conversation about some of the projects that he has participated in, courtesy of people like Rick Carney, Chuck White, and a lot of different organizations. But Summit Group, for its part, Claude, it's its own thing, isn't it? And you guys have shovels in the ground all over town. Tell us what Summit Group's doing.
Well, what we're doing is we started as the developers of Summit East Technology Park, which is another baby of Rick Carney, who Rick's visions are far beyond what any of us could ever see. You know, I'm a short-sighted guy, I'm boots on the ground, but he sees it, and he could see what could happen at it this intersection, which is at Mahan and I-10, there was nothing out there. It was a cow pasture, 117-acre cow pasture.
Right.
What he saw was the opportunity to build a technology park. And his company, Mainline, would be the first anchor building out there. And so in 2000, they moved Mainline information systems out there. And so they were the first building.
And Mainline is, if I understand correctly, a reseller, is that the right term, for IBM products?
That's correct. They're one of the largest resellers of IBM products in the country. I'm not sure how many employees they have. It comes and goes, but they're about a $500 million company.
Birth right here in Tallahassee.
Birth right here in Tallahassee, another vision of Rick, and he saw it and he made it happen. So from there, we've developed this into an office park now, a high-tech office park with Class A office space. It's one of the few Class A office parks.
What does that mean,
Class A? Class A means there's different classes of buildings.
Okay.
You have buildings that are what we call stick-built buildings, which are basically big houses. And then you have concrete and steel. All our buildings are concrete and steel, every single one of them. You can tell when you walk in that you're in a Class A office building. I think it's the urban center downtown, the big, tall building. Those buildings downtown are concrete and steel.
I see.
You don't hear the person above you walking on the floor.
I hear you.
So all our buildings are concrete and steel. We have just kind of name some of the tenants that we have out there, some of the building owners. We have auto owners who owns a building out there. It's their Southeastern Claims headquarters. We have First Commerce Credit Union, which owns a 90,000 square foot building that we're in. Mega Software, First American Title, who your son works with. That's one of our newest buildings. We have Adorant Software. We have IBM out there. We have Craig Dennis's law firm. We have, let's see who else I can think of right off the top of my head.
That's a lot of folks.
Xerox is out there.
Wow.
We have URS.
It's a beautiful park, too.
I mean, the whole thing.
And you guys do all kinds of fun things throughout the year. You do these cookout and kind of like your own mini carnival, it seems to me, and fireworks and all this stuff.
Oh, we have every year in the fall, we have a bonfire for all the tenants in the park and their family.
Yeah.
And it's grown over the years. This year, we serve 1,200 people. So we have everybody, a lot of the tenants participate.
Just for the fun of it.
Just for the fun of it. We have a great fireworks show, which is put on by Craig Dennis, who is a lawyer, but his passion is fireworks. And he puts on the most fantastic fireworks
show. In the courtroom and out of the courtroom.
Oh, yeah. He actually did the fireworks this weekend for my daughter.
Smart. That's cool. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Your daughter was recently married, and you're just cooking along here, my friend. So what else is Summit now involved in?
Okay.
You've got Gain Street stuff going on?
We've got Gain Street, which is a potential project.
Okay.
And we're waiting to hear back from a grocery store chain that we've got an LOI with, who I can't name, but it's one of the largest grocery store chains in the country.
Okay.
So we're waiting to hear back from them if we get approved for this site.
Okay.
We've also had a discussion just started yesterday with a hotel chain that wants the other part of the property that we're not going to use for the grocery store.
Interesting.
But what we've really got going, which is our largest project now, is we're developing 100 acres at old Bannerman Road, at Bannerman and Thomasville Road. Everybody knows Chick-fil-A. Everybody knows where Chick-fil-A is. So there's Chick-fil-A out at Bannerman, Bannerman Crossings, which is a shopping center that we own and operate. Well, around that, we're developing 100 acres, which will be 100,000 square feet of retail. We'll have approximately 20,000 square feet of office.
Remarkable.
And 153 new home sites. And we put in a new roundabout, a connector road that will connect Bannerman Road with Kinhega, that will then connect up to Childs with a roundabout, which the county's deal is with this. Mm. We built the roundabout on Bannerman. The county is doing the roundabout on Kinhega. Mm. And then we're also involved with the county, working hand in hand to widen Bannerman Road to four lanes down to McBride Point.
That's remarkable.
So,
how did you get involved in all of this? Where does this start with you? I mean, is that hard to remember?
No, it's really easy to remember.
Because there's so much done.
I was a real estate attorney, a board-certified real estate attorney. Did that for, how long did I do that? I got to remember when I started all this.
See what I mean?
85, let's see, for about 25 years.
Okay.
And Rick Carney was one of my clients.
Okay.
And I did a number of real estate transactions for him. And so he came to me in about 2010.
Okay.
And said, hey, I'm looking for somebody that can manage my real estate portfolio, and I need them to do this, this, and this. And I thought,
I wonder if I know somebody.
So I went home and I told my wife, and she said, are you crazy? You need to take that job.
What are you thinking?
So it was really a hard, for me, it was a hard decision because I had this law practice that I'd built up for the years. But, I needed a change.
There you go.
And I wanted to really build something and see something other than this is on paper and tired of fighting with people over things, because that's all most lawyers do is fight. Mm-hmm. So this opportunity came up, and it's grown since the time I've been there to be able to do these things. We were able to, to actually work with the county and the residents in Killarn and McBride, Lake McBride, to be able to put together this development plan that we all joined in together, literally joined in together in front of the county commission and blessed it and got it approved.
Wow.
Because sooner or later that property was going to get developed.
Yep.
It's a question of who.
Who and when.
Right. Yep. Who and when. Because you cannot leave 100 acres undeveloped in that
one of the
with
most...
that much critical mass out there.
Right.
So they chose us.
Wow.
And I think they made a great choice.
Wow. Folks, talking with Claude Walker here. He is the CEO for Summit Group. We've just had a little bit of time with you, my friend, and we're going to have you come back and keep us abreast of all this that you're doing. Folks, if you're not getting this clearly, let me say it for you in simple terms. Summit Group and all that they are involved in and all these projects are helping us better find ourselves, in my humble opinion. I think Tallahassee is the at that tipping point where we're coming into a whole new way of thinking about this town, and others then seeing what's going on here and wanting to be part of it. I think Claude Walker is a big part of that. Claude, thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, that's what we have for you today, and we're glad that you made it a part of your morning. We're going to be here again next Saturday with more of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. Associate producer is Kayla Furland. And the director of guest relations, Mindy Clark. I'm Brian Cerny, inviting you to be with us again next Saturday morning at 93.3 FM and streaming live to the web. You can listen to us right there on your smartphone. We'll be looking for you. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Truck and car concept. We're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and car concept. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty.
Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and car concept. We're your one-stop shop for tripping out your truck. Truck and car concept. Their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars too. You're gonna love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please. Truck and